After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow.
Welcome to Dale Borglum's Healing at the Edge. We are very happy to share with you Dale's profound insight and open heart. Please go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/Dale to support this podcast.
Today I'd like to talk about Tantra. Tantra as opposed to yoga. So yoga is the path of gradual transformation. In Hinduism, yoga has the eight limbs of discipline, possible positive duties or observances, hatha yoga, pranayama, the breathing techniques, control of the senses, concentration, meditation, and finally samadhi or union with the divine. And in Buddhism, they don't really call it yoga, but there's the earlier stages of Theravada, Mahayana Buddhism, where we use awareness and compassion to gradually eliminate obstacles. So yoga is eliminating obstacles, whereas Tantra is transmuting the obstacle just like that. And rather than a slow, gradual process of transformation, when you're having an emotion, when you're having a sensory experience, you can have a relationship with it as if that is your relationship with the Divine Mother. So that fear is just as much God as non-fear. That whiskey is just as much God as chamomile tea. That meat is just as much God as tofu. And from the standpoint of yoga, we try to control things. What we put in our mouth, what goes out of our mouth, how we breathe, how we relate to other people. And through that, there is this gradual process of purifying, of letting go of the places that unsettle the mind and close the heart. And usually Tantra is not taught until one spends a lot of concentrated time doing yogic practices, developing concentration, developing awareness, developing the heart, because I think it's pretty clear that to see everything as God can be a pretty dangerous path if you don't have the foundation. One of the most popular parts of Tantra, of course, is sexual Tantra, but we could also apply Tantra to eating. But sexual Tantra or tantric eating, there's great pleasure there because it's bliss, it's a relationship with the divine. And if we don't have the foundation of clear awareness, open-hearted compassion, embodied awareness, embodied presence, it's very easy to get lost then in the the enjoyment of relationship with the divine in a way that we begin to mistake temporary experience for who we are, and we think we're enlightened and we're really not. So we're still not at the level of non-duality. There's still you or me or somebody who's doing the practice, who is still in love with the divine. But I find that the path of Tantra is much more juicy than the path of yoga, that working to see it all as my relationship with the beloved, that it's not that, the content of experience is not nearly as important as the relationship with the experience. So that I'm having this relationship with the divine and the content isn't really so important. Am I eating this or am I eating that? Am I acting this way or that way? But as long as I can be in that relationship, then I trust that relationship. And certainly having a relationship with Maharaji was profoundly wonderful practice in seeing it all as Maharaji. And somebody once asked him, what's the best form to worship God? And he said, every form. So it's not just the statues or the pictures on your altar, but it's the cashier at the grocery store, it's the food you're eating, it's the difficult emotions you're having. And can we then begin to surrender into this loving relationship where it's certainly based on some deep trust, but because we've done these foundation practices, getting grounded, getting centered, opening our hearts, clear awareness, then we begin to trust the possibility of opening into that love moment to moment to moment. So you were saying before, Monica, before we turned on the recorder, that you're feeling fear now, fear that you haven't felt for a long time. Maybe you could say a little more about that.
It's very strange because it's fear of everything that I've kind of worked through since the first time I discovered, for instance, that I had anxiety years and years ago, and how I met with that, and more like the path of yoga, as you say. But now it's just, it's so strange. It's coming from every direction. Just concerns about future, concerns about how I look, who I am, what I am, what I'm doing. I'm kind of living the life that I've always wanted, and it's very simple, and it's very, for me, very real. And what I've always dreamt of, and to be of service of people, and but now all these doubts are just, I'm bombarded almost every day, and like fears of, I always had a fear of spiders, for instance, and but the last years it hasn't been there. And now it's just creeping up, and I see spiders everywhere, and it's just overwhelming.
The fear is creeping up, or the spiders are creeping up?
Both. I even see spiders in the ocean. It's like, what is going on? So, and I try to embrace it, and I... and all this feeling of not being good enough and not being worthy, and also when I do apply all the tools I've, learned, especially the one that sits with me the deepest, and that is that we're all love, that we're all, this is all energy and this is all love and we're all one and all of that. Even that is like, I'm not even buying it anymore. And now I'm finding myself thinking that I'm just fooling myself, living this life and having these beliefs. So, yeah.
Are you surprised and confused that fears you thought you dealt with years ago are coming back?
Yes. It's very confusing.
Well, first of all, it would be lovely if the spiritual path were a straight line, just going up, 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 and you end up in heaven. But my experience has been that it's up and down, up and down, and then you work with a difficult emotion, and things open up and even out, and you feel you've dealt with this. And then, lo and behold, a little while later, it comes up again. My first guru, Bob Dylan, said, "What price do we have to pay to get out of going through all these things twice?" And I think the price is paying complete attention, but it's almost impossible to be completely present for a difficult thing. We meet it only partly. We heal it. We purify that place only partly, and it comes back again and again and again. So when it comes back, do we have to spin our wheels and waste time feeling frustrated or confused? Or can we say, here it is again, and even have some sense of gratefulness that, oh, now I have a chance to purify this even more completely because apparently I didn't finish the job last time. And if you really, really want to be free, then everything that arises is that possibility for deepening your freedom. And certainly fear is the most difficult of all experiences to work with. It's the main quality that separates us from realizing who we are. My notion here is that all fear is fear of death. And fear of death is exactly equal to lack of enlightenment. Because fear is the place where you're caught in, there's a me who's able to be afraid of something other than me. I'm afraid of spiders. So there's a you and there's a spider out there. And at one level, yeah, there is your body there in Denmark and there are the spiders in Denmark. But at the same time, there's another level of consciousness where it's all one. And that's the place where we're not enlightened. So when fear arises, it's in a way this perfect map of what we're holding on to that prevents us from being enlightened. And here is the work. It's put there right in front of our face. So the question here is, are we going to use a yogic practice of, okay, I'm going to do breathing exercises, I'm going to do hatha yoga, I'm going to concentrate, I'm going to meditate. When I meditate, I'm going to get more aware. I'm going to become more compassionate. Or are we ready to do this tantric immediate transmutation of fear into our relationship with God? So that in any moment, whether you're feeling fear or you're enjoying your breakfast, in any moment, you're just one mind moment away from surrendering to God, that this too is God, that nothing can fundamentally separate you from your identity with the divine, from your identity with one consciousness. But because of all of our early childhood conditioning, because of our character structure, we take really seriously these fears, this stuff we're angry about, and we say, oh, I feel separate now. But you can't be separate. It's impossible. There's nothing to be separate from.
Yeah. And this is, it's so weird because I don't know why I'm starting to doubt that truth that's been so true and so joyful these last years, and that now is just, yeah. But yeah, because I try even when it really creeps up, and I try to sit with it and see, you know, welcome it and see, what is this? And see this thing or this emotion as a part of me. And even though I know it, I don't feel it anymore as I used to. I still know it, but I kind of, I don't feel it. And I think that's why maybe I'm not as convinced as I once were. Or
what exactly is it you think you're not feeling?
This connectedness,
okay.
Or this truth.
Okay.
This truth, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I've gone through long periods of that. There was, when I came back from India and being with Maharaji, I felt his presence in my life in a moment-to-moment way, and I would dream about him, and I would think about him. And at some point, it almost felt like he pushed me out of the nest and said, it's time for you to fly. And I couldn't feel him. And I felt that the love I felt was impersonal in a way. It didn't have that juicy, he and I were in love. And I wondered if I had done something wrong or I was off the path and I was making a big mistake. But I really came to the conclusion that he was saying, it's time for you to be who you are more than holding on to my hand moment to moment. That I'm everywhere. I'm you. I'm everything else. And having all these notions about there's the guru and you're the devotee, all that stuff is really useful. But at the same time, there's a step of going beyond that. And it's a scary step. It's like stepping off a cliff into the unknown. And you don't know when you're flying through the air if you're going to fall down and hit some solid rocks or you're just going to keep flying. It must be, I can feel how confusing it could be. And how scary it is to be scared in this way again. So, is it possible to just be in that place and just make this instantaneous tantric transmutation that even confusion, even this fear, even the fact spiders might be everywhere is...
No.
even that... is my relationship with the divine. And it sounds like maybe that's a little too steep right now, that maybe you have to go back to yogic practice, that maybe sitting down and doing Tonglen, taking and sending, imagining the part of you in front of you who's feeling separate, who can't feel that connectedness, who's lost in some fear. And then the meditative part of you is feeling compassion and love for the part of you that's caught, and really feeling in a very immediate and direct way how much you suffered in your life because of being lost in the sense of separation and fear, and being willing to take that suffering into the meditating you, breathing in, taking the suffering with compassion, breathing out, sending the antidote with loving kindness. Or even just, can you, when you're starting to feel afraid, can you get grounded? Can you, as you breathe out, breathe down into the earth, breathe out through the base of your torso and begin to receive that infinite abundance of grounding energy that's always there. It's the mother. And in a way, fear is not trusting the mother. So here is a very simple, incredibly dualistic practice of I'm feeling afraid, so I'm going to do this particular technique to feel more connected, and maybe that'll help dissolve the fear that I'm feeling right now. But to the extent that it's not so much being fixated on what you're afraid of, but being with the process of fear itself, the movement of fear, and being with that with great clarity and great compassion, the fear will begin to dissolve. In Tibetan Buddhism, there's a slogan, drive all blames into oneself. And
what? One more time?
Yeah, I know. It's a really bad English translation. Drive all blames into oneself. In other words, it's not like you're blaming yourself, but as long as you're blaming the spiders or the traffic or the weather or the government or your body for how you're feeling, then healing is impossible. But when we withdraw the blame and say, here's what I'm feeling, I take responsibility for how I'm responding, then healing can happen. So almost always when fear arises, we get fixated on the object of fear that's out there instead of working with the movement of fear, the feeling of fear itself. What does it really feel like in your body? I remember the first time in my life I was really wide awake and afraid at the same time. I had gotten much better at being awake during sadness and during anger and during lust. But fear, for me at least, given my personality type, and I think for most people, fear is the most difficult emotion to be awake during. And I remember I was at my parents' house for a while during summer break at college, and I was walking across the street. It was a perfect hot California summer day, to the mailbox that was across the street to get my grades at the end of the school year that they were going to mail to my parents' house. And I was afraid about this one grade, and I could, all of a sudden, I was just wide awake, feeling afraid. And it was almost shocking because I realized that I'd been afraid so much in my life, and I could think about the fear and I could work with the fear, but never during the fear was I wide awake during the fear. So fear is almost always projected. We feel fear, and I think that there's this fundamental fear, this fear that we're going to die, this fear that we're separate, this fear that it isn't safe. And we project that onto, I keep using your spiders, I hope you don't feel offended that I'm pushing you into this, into the spider corner here. But we project the fear, and we get fixated on what we're afraid of. And people are afraid of what the government is doing now here in America. People are afraid that the climate is changing. And yes, there are things out there that are easy to be afraid of. But if we're wanting to be effective protesters or activists or healers, we have to be in relationship with the fear rather than being fixated on what's out there. And then we can work with the fear. Like people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King were great activists because they were coming from a stance of nonviolence. And nonviolence really fundamentally is being not afraid, because it's fear that causes violence. And if we're able to be nonviolent, then there's not going to be fear. If we're not fearful, there's going to be nonviolence. So wherever there's violence in your mind, there's going to be fear. And when there is violence in the mind, even in a subtle way, then we can't rest in non-duality. We can't rest in the arms of the beloved, because there's that violence going on. And being with the beloved means total radical surrender.
Yeah. I think that's the frustrating part and confusing part, when I know in such a deep level that there's nothing to fear, and then I suddenly feel it.
Okay, so when you suddenly, I'm sorry, when you suddenly feel it, instead of being frustrated, can you just be with the fear? And if you can't do that, then can you be with the frustration? Mm-hmm. So there was fear, and the fear caused frustration, and you think, oh, I should be a better meditator. I should be a more evolved Monica than Monica's being right now. So is it possible, so that wherever you wake up, wherever you say, okay, here's what's going on, that's the place to work with. There's a profound need for flexibility. So you start out thinking, oh, I'm afraid, I'm frustrated. Can you be with that frustration? What does frustration feel like? And under the frustration is probably some sense of inadequacy that you think you should be doing better. You should be able to deal with things as soon as they arise. And sometimes we can't do that. Oftentimes we can't do that. So instead of saying, oh my God, I'm not dealing with the fear, then we're dealing with, oh my God, I'm frustrated. And it's just always coming back to the moment and some kind of deep trust or faith that the moment is perfect, even if it's weird or unpleasant or scary or whatever it might be. That the profoundly counterintuitive thing about spiritual practice is that we need to move toward what scares us rather than the deeply conditioned desire to get away from what scares us. Because freedom lies in opening to what scares us and seeing that we can have compassion for even that. Even that is the divine.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It makes sense, but putting it into practice is not an easy thing.
No, because it's frustrating, because even in the moment, you know, when I have these feelings, and especially when it prevents me of helping others or being of service or, you know, just being in the garden and then suddenly these spiders come and I'm like, all right, I can't continue my work because I'm just terrified. And just sitting with that and being kind of calm with it, but still prevented from doing what I'm supposed to do. Also knowing this is also perfect. This is also as it's supposed to be. But yeah, in that moment, it's frustrating because you feel like you can't do nothing. You know,
you can't do nothing. Almost you like, have to do something. You mean?
Yeah, like I can't, it feels like I can't do the work I was supposed to do, and I can't even do anything about the fear. So then I just sit there and like, all right, there's nothing to do. And behind that, there's this knowing that it's, you know, perfectly perfect. And even that's annoying because... Because I know it, and still I'm kind of paralyzed, or not paralyzed, but I'm not able to do the things I was supposed to do.
So that's
so it's annoying to know this. It's annoying to have, you know, been in touch with, you know, what I used to or what I call truth, and have this knowing and still be afraid, to know that there's nothing to be afraid of, and then feel fear. Does it make sense?
It makes complete sense, and it's called the spiritual path because it is a path. And before the first stage of the path, you're afraid of something, and you're saying, "Oh, the spider's doing this to me," and one is totally unconscious about the fear. You're completely lost in the fear. And then there's a stage where you notice the fear after it's happened and you say, oh, I could have done better. Maybe like you're getting annoyed that the fear has bothered you so much. But that's just one of the stages, that you're not completely embodied, grounded, centered, trusting, loving enough to be with that level of fear. But can you at least then start to be with the annoyance? There's a wonderful story, a wonderful quote by Sri Aurobindo, a great Indian saint, who said, I was walking down the path, I was walking down the road, and God knocked me over, and I fell into a mud puddle. And I got up, and I started shaking my fist at God, saying, why are you doing this to me? Don't knock me down like that. And I walked a little further away down the road, and he knocked me over again into another mud puddle. And I got up and I was upset again, but not quite as upset. I didn't shake my fist. And I walked down further down the road and he knocked me over a third time and I just got up and kept going without the annoyance. So, and I remember Ramdas saying a long time ago something I thought was really, really important, that one of the things that most determines our progress on the spiritual path is how quickly we get back in the saddle, how quickly we get back into being present after we've been lost, or after we've been lost, we start saying, oh my God, look what I did. And the superego jumps in and we're hard on ourselves. The inner critic is saying, you're really a lousy meditator. And how can you be like that? And you just spin your wheels and chew up a lot of energy doing that. Or as soon as you notice that you're lost, at that point, can you go right into, okay, boom, I'm annoyed. I'll feel that. I'll come back to being with the fear. And maybe even practice being with fear. Maybe finding a picture of a big scary spider on your computer. You just put it on your computer and you sit there and it's not a spider. Your mind knows it's not a spider. It's a picture of a spider. But probably some anxiety will arise. And where do you feel it in your body? Is it in your belly? Is it in your face? Is it in your shoulders? One teacher said that when one is caught in the eye being afraid of something else, that usually what happens for almost everybody is the shoulders come up a little bit and there's tightness in the belly, a contraction down in the lower belly. My friend Stephen Levine always talked about soft belly. So that when you feel afraid, just at the most basic level, can you let go of your shoulders, not push them down, just let go. Let go of your lower belly, doing it right now, but at the same time, putting some strength into the lower belly. It's not a complete collapse. It's a finding the proper balance between tension and relaxation. So there's some strength in the lower belly. As you breathe out, there's some strength. And then right in front of you, you think of a spider. There's the spider coming. And can you be with the spider and be centered, be grounded, be present in your body, have embodied awareness, maybe even beyond that, embodied, compassionate, loving awareness, that you're compassionate for the place of you that's been caught in this spider thing for so many years. But at least just getting embodied, learning to be present and being very... So that we let go of the story. And we really didn't talk about tantric practice per se. There's what I call the tantric three-step as opposed to the country two-step, which is a dance here in America. And the first step is becoming aware and letting go of the story. Becoming embodied, you let go of your shoulders, you let go of your belly, you're present, you're aware. This is what it feels like to be afraid. But you let go of the story about spiders or about the climate or about the traffic or whatever. You're just with the immediate experience in a naked way. That's the first step. That's the hardest step. The second step then is to have compassion. Open up and allow the open heart to meet the experience. And the third step is the tantric part where you go beyond pure and impure. That even the fear of spiders is part of my relationship with the beloved. That fear of spiders in no way can fundamentally separate me from the Divine Mother. It is part of my love relationship with the beloved. And it might take weeks or months or years to be able to learn to do the first step really well, of particularly if it's your deepest fear, to just be there, present with the fear, let go of the story, let go of the narrative. And then the second stage, so the first stage is kind of yoga, all the things you do with yoga to become present with fear. The second stage is opening your heart. That might take a few more years. And then the third step is the tantric flip or the tantric transmutation. Yes, even this. But eventually you can go through the three stages in the blink of an eye. You go from the emotion of fear to surrender back into the beloved. And you don't have to be letting go of the narrative and opening the heart. You just trust you can go right there to union.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was fun. So why don't we bring this to a close? I think it'd be good to do another session on Tantra sometime, but I'd like to encourage everybody listening to this to make a donation to the Be Here Now Network. It's what keeps us going. I thank you for listening. Maybe Monica thanks you too, I would assume. And thanks for listening to our channel. Take good care. Bye-bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.